Welcome back to the Mike Molloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. I am your friendly citizen investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, blogger, all-around swell fellow in tonight for Mike in these hazy, lazy days of summer. Glad you could join us, and we are going to be going to Robert Steierwalt, I think at the bottom of the hour, from the Vermont Emergency Management Agency to get an update on how the state is doing out there in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, which Howard Kurtz of CNN thinks was just a bunch of hype. I wonder if somebody in his family had been one of the more than 40 people now killed in the third most deadly storm here in the U.S. since 1980. I wonder if he would think it was hype then. I wonder how many more people would have been killed, would have died, had the media, had the governors, the mayors, and I'm including Chris Christie and Bloomberg and Shumlin up in Vermont, had they not, Cuomo in New York, had they not made the noise that they did and pulled off the first evacuations of downtown Manhattan in history, how many more people would have been dead and would have Howard Kurtz have been satisfied then that it wasn't all hype? Yes, the media are jackasses. Yes, they are idiots when they go out in their multicolored rain slickers and dance about. Nonetheless, a story like this deserves coverage, and frankly, it still deserves coverage, and it's no longer getting the coverage it deserves from much of the national media because, oh, Manhattan was spared. So to George Will, no problem. This was all overblown. To Howard Kurtz, who wrote at the Daily Beast, a hurricane of hype. It was raining in Manhattan on Sunday morning, and the dogged correspondents and their brightly colored windbreakers were getting wet. But the apocalypse that cable television had been trumpeting had failed to materialize. I wonder if the folks out there struggling in Vermont right now agree that it didn't materialize after all. If you're out there in the Northeast, 877-520-1150, I would love to hear from you. And we've got some callers that I'm going to go to momentarily, but I just need to... I forgot to say, bradblog.com, we've got our chat room open, so stop by there. You can tweet us at the Brad Blog, and that's it for the business. Now, in the wake of Hurricane Irene, this is from Think Progress today, which caused billions of dollars in damages up and down the U.S. eastern seaboard, House Republicans are callously claiming that any aid to victims of the disaster needs to be offset by budget cuts elsewhere. The savings that they favor, the savings favored by the House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, would come from cuts to FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and first responders. Brilliant. Hurricane hunters, that's what they want to cut. Military planes that fly into hurricanes in order to measure and track them. It's just unbelievable. The cuts were passed by the Republican Appropriations Committee in the House. They would take funding for these flights down from $29 million to $17 million, despite the fact that the flights help save a substantial amount of money. Due to data from the hurricane monitoring flights, forecasts are 30% more accurate now. Since it costs $1 million per coastal mile for evacuation and preparation when a storm approaches, every mile that is not evacuated yields substantial savings for taxpayers. Estimates put the savings due to monitoring flights at $100 to $150 million per storm. And yet, of course, they need to cut, 10, $12 million from this program. That's your Republican Party. They want to do the same thing to Social Security, to Medicare, everything else. We're going to be talking about that in the next hour, I do promise you. 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Let's get an update from Jeremy up in Burlington, Vermont, who really got hit hard, didn't they, Jeremy? Welcome to the Mike Molloy Show, sir.
Oh, we definitely got hurt. Howard Kurtz is a windbag. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I can personally tell you I know of at least, I want to say, one or two deaths here in Vermont from it, where we lost 250-plus roads. We have 14 towns which are utterly cut out from civilization. You can't get to them any way you want.
So the old joke about you can't get there from here.
You literally can't get to 14 towns right now. It was so bad that yesterday they actually couldn't survey the damage because they couldn't get to most of these areas.
Which is just unbelievable to me. Now, were you safe? Were you spared, Jeremy, where you were up in Burlington?
Burlington was mostly spared. I live in a county named Chittenden County, and there's spotted outages of power here. It was mostly wind and a few tree branches down. There wasn't a whole lot here, thankfully. But a little south of here and then major south of us here towards Rutland, Vermont, they were just hammered. I mean, they had like 6 feet of water that came down through the rivers.
And so what do you think when you hear, and I don't even know if you read it because you have, I'm sure, bigger problems to deal with right now, but, you know, a piece like Howard Kurtz or George Will going on the Sunday morning shows as the storm was hitting you guys. Actually, Jeremy, can you hang on? I don't know if you heard.
Yeah.
Did you hear what George Will had to say?
No, actually, I don't think I heard it.
Let me play this for you, because this was as the storm on Sunday morning was barreling through Vermont, upstate New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut. This jackass goes on the Sunday shows on this week on ABC and has this to say.
Florence Nightingale said, whatever else you can say about hospitals, they shouldn't make their patients sicker. And whatever else you want to say about journalism, it shouldn't subtract from the nation's understanding, and it certainly shouldn't contribute to the manufacture of synthetic hysteria that is so much a part of modern life. And I think we may have done so with regard to this tropical storm, as it now seems to be.
Manufactured synthetic hysteria. What do you think of that, Jeremy? You're sitting there in Burlington. What is that?
It's laughable because we lost... I heard of at least three of our precious historic covered bridges.
Yeah.
They were fewer and farther and spread between. We had a major flood here in 1927, which wiped out a majority of them. We have a few of them here and there, and at least three of them are gone now. Most of them will outdate all of our families if you put us together.
Yeah, and we actually have some video of that at bradblog.com in this article that I wrote on Sunday when I saw Kurtz's piece. I think it's called, I've called it, Hurricane of Haplessness, Howard Kurtz. But we actually see that covered bridge disappeared, and your governor, Pete Shumlin, pointed out that those bridges, many of them, have been standing for a century. And, you know, they have weathered floods, you know, before over decades. But this one, this storm, what George Will of ABC called manufactured synthetic hysteria, this storm wiped them out.
Yeah, it was our worst flooding in well over 100 years.
Well, you know, it's unbelievable, Jeremy. I really do appreciate the call. Do you guys have electricity restored in Burlington and?
Well, luckily, most of Burlington never lost power.
Good.
Most of Chittenden County stayed with power. Other counties suffered tremendously.
Well, stay dry out there, my friend. Good luck to you, and I really appreciate you checking in here tonight. All right, take care. 877-520-1150. We're going to speak with the Vermont Emergency Management team, a representative there at the bottom of the hour, to find out how we out here can help those folks up in Vermont and the rest of the Northeast. But we would love to hear from you, your experiences, those who survived that, manufactured synthetic hysteria, according to George Will, and according to Howard Kurtz, a tsunami of hype. He said, this is from Kurtz's piece, the fact that New York, home to the nation's top news outlets, was directly in the storm's path clearly fed this story on steroids. Does anyone seriously believe the hurricane would have drawn the same level of coverage if it had been bearing down on, say, Fort Lauderdale? Great question, Howie. It turns out there are not 65 million people in Fort Lauderdale like there were up and down the eastern seaboard as this hurricane was accurately predicted to affect. 65 million people. I just want to keep calling him a jackass, but but that wouldn't be polite. 877-520-1150. I'm going to take a quick break here. We'll come back to Andy in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Your chance to get in on to the Mike Malloy Show, your public airwaves. Use them. Brad in for Malloy. You know, I'm just tempted to listen to it all day. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy tonight. Broadcasting from the left coast, beautiful downtown Burbank. 877-520-1150 is our number. We would love to hear from folks. Again, of course, I realize a lot of your power is down, so you might not be able to call in. But we'd love to hear from you. 877-520-1150. If you were in the path of the storm, particularly as you're still dealing with it in many places up there in the Northeast. We will come back, with Robert Steierwalt from the Vermont Emergency Management Agency, see how they're doing. But let me, and next hour, boy, this assault on Social Security, oh, don't get me started yet, because I'll never stop, so I'll just hang on to it. Let's go to Andy in, Andy in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Andy, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Brad. You know, the idea of a storm doing a bunch of damage inland, let me tell you, Hurricane Dolly came ashore around Corpus Christi about 3 years ago, 800 miles inland. The remnants of the storm, the very curl of, you know, twist of the storm, I saw a, the video of the whole thing. Ran into the southern Sacramento Mountains right above Ruidoso, New Mexico, and dumped 5 or 8 inches of rain on Ruidoso and basically washed the town away. It was an astonishing event, and it garnered no publicity outside of course, New Mexico itself. With this storm, Irene, my folks, I grew up in upstate New York. My folks live there. I called them and said, hey, you know, look out, get prepared, because this storm, if it takes that track, is going to just run into all the contours of the land, and it's basically going to rain itself out, and there's going to be a big problem. I'm not even a meteorologist, and I can figure this out. And fortunately,
how did your parents fare? Did you talk to them?
Perfectly fine. They were on the very west edge of the flooding, but a small town that they're familiar with, Margaretville, New York, south of Interstate 88, was absolutely, just demolished.
And that was that's in upstate New York?
Yes, yeah. Margaretville. And then another very small village, which I wasn't so familiar with Margaretville, but another small village,
Windham, New York, Keene in Greene County up there was just devastated, I understand.
They live in Otsego County, but around the Delhi area, South Moniana, the northern Margaretville lies at the northern edge of the Catskill State Park, and just was completely. I don't know. I haven't seen any pictures, but evidently, according to my ma, is just. Salisbury's the town in upstate New York, north of them, beyond the Mohawk Valley that got clobbered. I mean, it's incredible the scope of this storm.
It didn't happen at Howard Kurtz and George Will's house, so it didn't happen. Why don't these hurricanes have the courtesy to target Howard Kurtz and George Will's house? Well, Andy, I appreciate the call. I got to run here. Thanks, brother. Appreciate you calling in. Let me get to another one here before we have to go to a break. Gerald in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Gerald. What's on your mind, sir?
very interesting show tonight. I was just interested. You keep commenting how earlier you were talking how cable shows, they tend to overhype everything.
Right.
Yet when George Will suggests that that's what happens regularly, he's getting crucified. So.
Well, he didn't suggest that that's what happens regularly. He suggested that that's what happened in this case as he sniffed Tropical Storm Irene. Yes, of course, they always go overboard on everything. But in a case like this, when you have a monster storm that turns out to be the third deadliest storm in the last 30 years, do you want the media to cover it or not cover it? Do you want them to let people know what is barreling their way? Whether they do it well or not, whether they cover it well or not, you don't go on while this storm is still rolling through state after state, drowning. Go look at some of these videos. You can see them on YouTube. You can see them. We got it at bradblog.com. Look at this and tell me that that is, what did he call it? Manufactured synthetic hysteria.
Yeah, I see your point.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Gerald. I do appreciate the call, brother.
Say, on another topic, your 350.org fella.
Yeah.
We hear a lot about global warming, but it would seem they'd have a better luck talking about ocean acidification.
Yeah, well,
and that sort of thing, and you don't hear a lot about that.
Well, you don't hear a lot about the topic at all because the corporatists who want you to not hear these stories, who want you to think everything's fine, there's nothing to worry about. They're the ones who own the airwaves. Mike Malloy is not on in every town. Well, he is on the satellite radio, but he's not on the free air across this nation the way the liars and scoundrels like Rush Limbaugh are. That's got to change. Brad, in for Malloy.
I find myself in times of trouble. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy tonight. We're going to be joined very momentarily here with Robert Steyer-Walt, the Public Information Officer at the Vermont Emergency Management Agency. By the way, tomorrow, unless there's another delay, please do look for the first of a two-part series of mine, a very, very exclusive hot story, finally to come, I believe, tomorrow, unless there's another delay, at Mother Jones, motherjones.com. You're going to enjoy that story. All right. Oh, great. We do have Robert Steyer-Walt now, I think. Do I have him? Hang on. They're working there. Oh, they're talking to him. Release him. There we go. Okay, now I've got him. Robert Steyer-Walt, Public Information Officer at the Vermont Emergency Management Agency. Robert, thank you very much for joining us here. I know it's late out there. I know you're exhausted, and you probably have not slept for days at this point.
Well, it's good to be on your show, Brad. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, how are you guys holding up out there in Vermont? Last I heard, we had a caller who said there's still some 14 towns that are completely cut off from the rest of the state.
Yeah, that shrunk today. We're down to, as of this morning, we were down to 11, and I think we've done a good job of getting supplies into those towns today. There may be one or two that didn't get food, water, tarps, and blankets today.
How are you getting food, water, blankets to those towns that are cut off?
We're doing it by air with National Guard helicopters, and that'll really go into full swing tomorrow. We just did one airdrop delivery today, and the others have been National Guard trucks, four-wheel drive vehicles that have driven the supplies into the communities.
Now, you say airdrops. I mean, are they literally dropping this in, or are there places to land?
That's just a military term for what the actual. I mean, it's not like they're flying over and dropping the stuff. They land at a predestinated spot set up with the town.
Mm-hmm. And how are the folks holding up? How are the citizens holding up out there in Vermont, as far as you can tell?
Well, Vermonters are a resilient group. I mean, we're used to 3 feet of snow. We've had ice storms, and it's not unusual to have flooding in the spring when the rivers break up. You know, the rivers will break up. There'll be giant pieces of ice that backlog, and some of the main cities, like our capital in Montpelier, will flood, which is what happened in 92. What's unusual in Aberdeen about this particular event was, you know, we had 8 inches of rain hit the state in an hour. It's a tropical storm, so it's the summertime. And our rivers and tributaries just, you know, had no way of coping with that amount of water in that short a period of time.
Do you feel you're getting the coverage that you need from the media, from the, I mean, I'm sure the local media is all over it, but is word getting out to your satisfaction about what folks in the Green Mountain State are going through across the national media right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what happened was after the storm passed through the major metro markets such as New York City and came up to Vermont, I mean, some of the most compelling video that's been, you know, featured on all the networks, CNN, ABC, CBS, has been, you know, when you have a covered bridge disappear that's been around for over a century, it's pretty compelling, and it's emotional, and it's heartfelt, and you know, we have a lot of infrastructure here that's been here forever. I don't know if you've ever traveled up to Vermont, but you know, part of what makes this state so amazing is you really don't know what's around the next corner, and almost every road in the state parallels a river or a stone wall or a, and people have a lot of pride in their property and in their in living this way up here.
No doubt, a gorgeous estate, and I loved my time up there. How is the Vermont Emergency Management Agency, and I suspect you're not interested in all of this political nonsense that's going on, but you know, there's this debate about FEMA and everything else. Do you guys work directly with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and how is that going?
It's going great. In fact, I'll give you an example. Our state emergency operations center in Waterbury flooded, and we had to evacuate to Burlington. And we set up with FEMA, who was already established here with a joint field office in Burlington. And they took us in that night, and we've been sharing space ever since. And this is all part of, you know, I don't know if you're aware of the National Incident Management System, but that was formed several years ago, and we've been training ever since so that the federal government and the state governments can talk the same language. We structure the same way, which is we go into an incident command system, which was developed by the in California, actually, to fight the wildfires out there. So we all talk the same language. We've all bunkered in together very, very well. And there's been a lot of really good cross-pollination, not only of ideas, but of resources and back and forth.
So you find the FEMA a valuable service in a situation like this. You would not like to see them go away, as some are now talking about.
Oh, heck no. I think it not only are they valuable, but we lean on them for a lot of different things. And they've been, I would say, invaluable since the storm hit.
How's your home, Robert? Did you survive your home, survive the storm okay?
I was fortunate. Driving home after working 48 straight hours, we had one tree that almost cracked a mailbox. That had been chainsawed by one of the neighbors. But other than that, Chittenden County, which is the most populous area down by Lake Champlain, which is Burlington, Colchester, those communities were not hit very hard. And we've all looked at each other after the storm and said, I can't believe it's as bad as they're saying it is down south. But having worked in the operations center now for the last 3 days, it is bad down there, and a lot of communities have just been devastated.
Well, what do you feel, Robert Steyerwald, what do you feel that we out here in the rest of the nation need to know about what's going on up there in Vermont, and how is it that we can help? Can we help? Is there anything that we can do from out here?
Well, there's a Vermont Disaster Relief Fund that's set up. If anyone wants to contribute, it's www.vermont211.org. And I think the two things people should know is, one, if you hear someone say, you know, people are overreacting up in Vermont, I think we take umbrage to that because we're one of the, you know, just to survive a winter here, it takes a certain amount of toughness and
yes.
fortitude. And, you know, we're the people that stack four cords of wood and smile at each other when it's 30 below zero. This isn't something that we're used to. And I think we've been hearing a lot about, oh, now that the rivers have receded, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that water, after it goes back into the river, there's still all kinds of complications and problems if the water rises to a point where it fills the lowlands. And Vermont is basically a community that everyone builds their homes in the valleys and in the meadows, expecting that bucolic, rustling river next to their homes is going to stay put, which has been the case for, you know, more than a century in some cases. And the fact that the rivers did overflow and violently tore things away, and in some cases washed homes downstream, it is a big deal to us. And we're, you know, exercising our resilience, our patience, and our perseverance. And I guess I just would ask the rest of the country to acknowledge that, yeah, it is pretty bad in Vermont. Those people up there are tough, but we're doing everything we can to recover.
Yeah, well said. And they expect not just the rivers to be there, they also expect the roads and the bridges to be there. And many of them, I understand, are gone tonight. So Godspeed to you out there. Robert Steierwalt of the Vermont Emergency Management Agency. Help them out at the Vermont Disaster Fund, www.vermont211.org. I have that correct?
Yes, sir. That's right.
All right. Thank you, brother. Hang in there and try to get some rest, will you?
Thanks for giving us some airtime, Brad. We greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good luck to you, sir. All right. Wow. Well, there you have it. And he makes a good point, you know, about the folks in Vermont, the winters that they weather without a problem. These are tough. These are sturdy people. And they have been just absolutely, I think, taken off guard by this and by what has happened there. And, you know, I'll include myself in the media. We can follow a story when it's hot, when it's smoking, when the smoke is still coming out of the nuclear reactor, when the YouTube videos are still coming in with the bridges, just disintegrating away. But then we get distracted, and then we move on to the next story. And, folks in FEMA are now looking at moving money from Joplin, from the recovery funding that's going on there in Joplin, Missouri, my old home state, and diverting it to pay for Irene emergency response. They have no choice. Because Congress has not come in. Congress has not passed emergency funding at this point. You got idiots like Eric Cantor, the majority leader in the House, saying, we're going to make this another hostage situation. We're not going to bring any money there at all unless we cut somewhere else. Of course, his home wasn't flooded. Virginia, I think, was spared. I admit to, as the storm was coming in, thinking to myself, man, and I'm sorry, by the way, in advance to anybody listening in Virginia, but man, I hope that if anybody is going to get hit with this hurricane, it's, you know, going to be in Eric Cantor's district, so he understands, so he can look at his own constituents and turn around and say, well, no, we're not going to give you all any money. Sorry, not until we cut something from somewhere else. They never need to cut Homeland Security, do they? They never need to cut money from the wars, from the endless wars, from the continuing scam that they call the War on Terror that continues unabated. No one ever talks about cutting those funds. But people here in these United States drowning in a flood, oh, they can go to hell. People, elderly people who need Social Security. Those welfare queens who want to have stuff like medicine for their ailments, they can go to hell. But the war on terror, that continues unabated. Nobody minds that at all. We'll just keep spending trillions, and then we'll, you know, cut millions from programs and people who actually need it. 877-520-1150. I'll talk a little bit about Social Security. Unless you want to drive me elsewhere, unless you want to talk to me about something else. 877-520-1150. That is our phone number tonight. And we got a bunch of people online, and I will be, getting finally to that Social Security thing. Oh, that story tomorrow at Mother Jones. Did I mention that? Exclusive? If it comes out tomorrow. We keep delaying it. We want to get it right, people. Oh, but it's a hot one. You're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Please do stay with us.
Well, the first days are the hardest days. Don't you worry.
Was in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue, the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Well done, Tony. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike tonight. Just got word from our friend Bob Kincaid of Head On Radio Network. He is at Tar Sands Action out there in D.C., I believe. And we will be talking to him. He called in. And so we're going to talk to him after the top of the hour. So you'll want to stay tuned. For that, until then, we'd love to hear from you. 877-520-1150 is our phone number, 877-520-1150. We have a few open lines. We are, again, would love to hear from people up there in the Northeast. I tell you, I was quite moved by, I don't know why, by Robert Stylewalt, but I was up there with the Vermont Emergency Management Agency. I was talking to my engineer here, Tony, during the break, and we sort of agreed. He actually sounded like he was wet, like he was, you know, has been fighting what's going on out there, these floods for the last 3 days. And God bless him. You can help out the people of Vermont at www.vermont211.org, because if it were up to Eric Cantor, he would tell them to go to hell. If it was up to Ron Paul, he'd say, oh, you people can figure out how to do this on your own. You don't need the government. The banks, the corporations, they'll come in and help you. They'll save your 14 towns that are completely cut off from humanity. Unbelievable. 877-520-1150. Let's go to Steve in Austin, Texas, I do believe. Hey, Steve, howdy.
Hi.
And welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hi, Brad. Good to hear you. Always great to check in with you when you're sitting in for Mike. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. What's on your mind?
It's interesting. Whenever these storms move inland, whether it's...
How's that heat going on down there in Texas, by the way, Steve? How's that? All right, I won't rub it in, but I'll... anyway, go ahead. I'll get to that in a minute. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. We're 70 days plus with 100-plus temperatures. We're expecting a break later in the week, but...
What global warming?
Yeah, what climate change? What are you talking about?
What record heat? What record drought? Rick Perry, your governor, he knows better than those scientists.
Right.
Those girly scientists, those queer scientists. All
yeah.
right, go ahead,
those
Steve.
Girly men, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead, what'd you actually call for?
Well, it's interesting. Up until the time a storm hits the coast, down here in South Texas or up there in the Northeast, it's big news. After it moves inland, well, we got other things to cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I used to think it was just because primarily it was brown people, you know, in South Texas, you know, they'll make out.
Mm.
But now it's perfectly obvious that we're all brown people. If you're, you know, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, after he came back from Mecca and dropped his slave name, recognized that it wasn't a racial struggle. It was a class struggle.
That's
and
it.
And then George Bush put the punctuation point on it at one of his fundraisers when he addressed the people as the haves and the have-mores.
Have-mores, yeah. And his supporters are the have-mores. You're exactly right, Steve.
It
really is. and it's getting worse. And the divide between the haves and the have-nots is just getting much worse. Steve, I really do appreciate it. And
you bet.
Hang in there, brother. Winter is coming soon. You'll cool off eventually.
Oh, I hope so.
thanks for the call, Steve. I appreciate it. 877-520-1150. Do I have time? I do. Let's go to Nick in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. Hey, Nick, how are you, sir? And did you survive the hurricane in good order?
We sure did, in spite of the Republican Party. Our house managed to not float away.
How do you think Chris Christie, I sense you're not a fan of Governor Christie's, how did he do on this particular issue, on this hurricane?
Sometimes the bulliness of his demeanor can come in a positive way, and getting people out of the beach areas when there's a hurricane coming on up. I agree with him on that particular point. You know.
I sidetracked you, and I only got a minute here, Nick. So let's. I don't want to lose your point. Called for.
I just wanted to vent my frustration with the Democratic Party and Barack Obama. Every single time he has capitulated, every single time. When Bush was president, we've got extremist right-wingers in the Supreme Court.
Yep.
But when Barack Obama's president, let's play nice, let's all hold hands, and I'll nominate a moderate to the bench. You know, when will the bubble burst? When will liberals finally pick up that this guy is not going to lead you to the promised land?
I think they know that now, but did you think that he was when you voted for him in 2008, Nick?
I never vote Democrat. I vote Green Party.
Okay. Well, one of the reasons I didn't vote for him is because I saw that he would be exactly what he has become. He's a lousy negotiator. He's a corporatist. And this lesser evil thing is evil in and of itself. Nick, I got to get to a break. Appreciate the call, my friend. Thanks for holding on so long. We're going to come back. Bob Kincaid of Head On Radio Network is going to join us. Plus, more of your calls and Social Security. 877-520-1150. Brad, in for Mike. Get in now. Don't wait till the end.